The views and opinions expressed in the Golden Boot Podcast are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Golden Boot Podcast as a whole.
Y'all ready to get rolling? Quiet on the set. Hey, welcome back. Another hot episode of HBCU. It's your boy Pooh Bear. Got my man Ant Patty Murphy in the building. What's good with you, my boy?
What's happening with it, bro?
All right, nothing much, man. We got another good one tonight, man. Rolling down that swag train, getting closer and closer to media day. It was announced the participants that will be attending media day. Let me see if I can pull that list up real quick. But it's a good group of guys, man. Some names, some people that I'm looking forward to talking to, having on, and some people who have been. We got some veterans, been a lot, a many time. Just the list from Alabama A&M: Donovan Eaglin, Amari Pate from Alabama State. Old face, new place: Andrew Boddy. At least his third trip that I know of. He'll be there along with James Burgess for Alcorn State. Tavares Griffin, Malachi Bailey from Bethune. You got Raymond Woody the third, and Travaris Hammond from FAMU. You got Kendall Bowler and Kelvin Dean Jr. from Grambling. Miles Crowley and Quentin Talley from Jackson State, Esaias Guthrie and Evan Henry from Valley, Kerrick Ross and Jordan Bussey from PV. You got CJ Presley and Shamar Savage from Southern. You got Chandler Whitfield and Sakelby Givens from Texas Southern. You got Jacob Williams and Meaty Torres. I know I'm missing another. I'm going to have to get that pronunciation. And then from UAPB, you got Elijah Jenkins and Damon Dawkins. So, nice little solid list. Again, like I said, we getting there. Jay White in the building. We've been talking about your boys tonight, Jay White. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. We talked about it a little bit last week. I just want to see how much these guys going to come out here and lie. I want to see if they got 8-9 wins, 10 wins. We're going to figure it out. Somebody going to be lying. So we're going to see. Everybody came on here. Because everybody in the sweat, or MEAC and sweat got, you know what I'm saying, for the most part, 9, 10 wins.
Yeah, everybody lied but Zach.
Everybody. Zach. Oh, Kobe didn't lie when he was talking about Delaware State.
That's fair.
He lied. I ain't gonna say he lied. We talk about South Carolina. I ain't gonna say that. We'll find out though. Dave with his 5 wins for North Carolina A&T.
He was reasonable, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
See.
Yeah, but we're gonna find out. We got some, but the guys we got on tonight, they typically, you know what I'm saying, they keep it real. We're gonna find out though. But man, let's go ahead and give a shout out to our sponsors over at BetOnline. BetOnline.ag. We'll be back 1 minute so we can find out who lying. Hold on. I got to find the button. I'm lying by going to commercial. All right, here we go.
BetOnline.ag is your number one source for all your sports information, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds, lines, and player injury reports for this year's NBA and NHL playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters. This season, we have you covered for all your sports wagering needs. We have everything from NBA, NFL, MLB, and NHL to golf, tennis, UFC, and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games that you can play right from your home. Head on over to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use the promo code BLEAV to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hey, welcome back to the Golden Boot. I'm sorry, HBCU Owl. I'm tripping. Our good man from the Hill Podcast, Mr. Wayne, Wild Wayne. Also welcoming back, representing Mississippi Valley. They got that new logo. That logo cold, boy. Hey, it's fire, and I do mean that with all pun intended. Big Pat, welcome back, bro. Glad to have you back.
What up?
Gentlemen.
What's happening?
Man, good to be back with you fellas once again. Hey, like Zach said, hey, everybody got a ticket to Atlanta.
Agreed. I just want to find out who's going to buy their ticket and who's going to get a, you know what I'm saying? Never mind. We'll figure that out. Adrian came in off the top rope. Already said, Bama ass.
Oh, okay.
he talk about everybody though. I be forgetting who his team is because he be talking about his own team sometimes. But fellas, man, first of all, thank y'all for coming back. Appreciate having y'all on again. Big Pat, man, holding it down for Valley, man. Holding it down, man. Thank you for joining us. I know you be out there on the road doing your thing. And Wayne, before we get started, I gotta ask a question because this I know this is in your wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. Let's talk track and field real quick.
Yes, sir.
We all know the story about the student athlete Norfolk State ran the 10.05. Did not qualify because it wasn't sanctioned. Mm-hmm. I know because you are a USATF official.
Yes, I am.
Can you give us a little insight on that instead of all the social media fodder that we hear?
Yeah, man. So basically it's like this, man. USATF, there's a certain process where when you have a meet, if you possibly think that you have someone that is going to qualify for one of the USATF championships, in this case, it's the trials. Some other years, it's the U.S. Championship, which feeds into a World Championship, all those different things. You have to file some paperwork ahead of time with the USATF. You have to tell them, all right, I'm having this meet. This is the fully automated timing company that I'm using. And we're also using certified USATF officials. So once you do all this, the reason for doing all that is to avoid anybody saying, hey, look, man, I ran a 9.95 and 100 and it's not certified. You didn't have a fully automated timing company. You didn't have a wind gauge to measure if it was wind legal or not. Wind legal meaning less than 2 meters per second. And then also if you're doing like the long jump, you have certified laser measurement, not just somebody like a coach or somebody pulling tape saying, all right, you just jumped 27 feet. So in this case, the MEAC did not properly file the paperwork with the USATF to have that meet certified. All these folks out here talking about it's the school's fault. It's not the school's fault. This is the MEAC. And then lastly, what I'll say on that is when the MEAC sat up there and put out that bogus statement to say, oh, well, unfortunately, these things didn't happen. But when they put at the end, this is where you lost everybody. There will be no further comments on this matter. Mm-hmm. You just told that young man, we know we messed up, but such is life.
Yeah, our bad. You know what I mean? You'll be all right. Let me ask you this, Wayne. Is there a cost associated with getting these meets sanctioned?
Yeah, there's a fee. I'm not exactly sure how much the fee is at this point because it changes from year to year, but there is a fee associated with it. And then, you know, like I said, as far as like, you know, getting officials, I mean, that's the easiest part of getting the officials because sometimes they have the same officials that officiate that meet every year. So, but it's an unfortunate thing, man. But the thing I hate about it is that people got all on social media and, you know, running the USATF in the dirt and talking about, oh, this is a, they hate HBCUs. Like, come on, y'all. Let's not play the race card. Let's just be smart here. The protocol was not followed by the MEAC conference, and they need to own it better than that bogus statement that they put out there.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, the SWAC also did not get their sanction as well, if I'm not mistaken. Correct. So don't just go out there and blame it. If somebody from the MEAC, you know, saying say somebody from Jackson State, or you know, saying would have ran a 10-0-1, guess what? He'd still be sitting at home watching the trials just like everybody else. So
yeah, unless it's he ran. I mean, we had an Alabama A&M athlete. We just had her on our show last week. She qualified and actually won the 100-meter hurdles for the women at the under 20 USATF championship. But she got her qualifying time at a sanctioned meet that was not the SWAC.
Gotcha. Now, I will say this. They asked about the fees. I did look it up. Got it up. It depends on the number of participants. Right. But from 1 to 100, $60. 101 to 250, $95. Typically, let me ask this. In a MEAC, SWAC, you know what I'm saying, championship meet or whatever, what's the typical number of participants? Because we can get engaged and give a call. Oh,
okay, so we're talking about right in the SWAC, you'd probably be talking about 350. In the MEAC with is it 8 schools right now? Well, not even anybody has a team. But you're probably talking about 150, 200, between 150 and 200 and 200 athletes in the MEAC.
Okay. So I'm going to just round up both and say both have 1,000. Okay. I know that's extreme, but $1,000 from $501 to $1,000 is $370. And that is, if I'm not mistaken, split amongst the schools in that – in that conference. So that's where we're at, you know. So
yep it's unfortunate, man, but I hope everybody has been educated now about track and field.
Yes,
you know, and I mean a lot of people they only think about track and field this time of year every 4 years when you think about watching somebody in the Olympics. But track and field, man, you better start paying attention to our sport.
Yeah. So, but man, thank you, Wayne, for explaining that. We talked, and I mentioned it before, Pat, the logo. People been, you know what I'm saying? We talked about it before the show started. You said that it's been kind of been talked about. It's been in the works, but hey, if logos determine, y'all might be in Atlanta. Hey, but that logo is fire. I like that logo. I'm looking forward to a shirt or something.
Yeah, I mean the shirts are available. I think I can't remember the link that Akeem said, but the merchandise is already there. I got a pen and I think a lapel or something to go on my suit or whatever. So the merchandise is already available. So it's just a matter of putting it out there so everybody can get it.
All right, let's get ready to talk some football now, fellas. Let's get ready to talk some football. Before we go forward, we must go back. Let's kind of look back. Pat, we'll start with Valley. You know, first year under coach Coach Wade. What was it?
1-10.
1-10. You had a phenomenal win against UAPB. You had some, you know, I think it was y'all made a little opportunity to slip away, but under Coach Wade, first year, thoughts, you know?
Growing pains, man. I mean, our top two quarterbacks were true freshmen, we had a first year offensive coordinator, so we had our growing pains this year, you know. I mean, last year, just I mean, he had to learn the system. What is it? Tajerian Williams, he was the main quarterback for most of the season. When you start a true freshman, yeah, you got to go through your growing pains. When you're a true freshman, by the time at the end of the season, you're basically a sophomore. Well, he had a sophomore game against Alabama A&M, and hope that carry over into the 2024 season.
Yeah. Wayne, second year in a row, under 500.
Yeah, man.
finished up at 5-6. There were some times there were promise, but then there were games. It's like, right, what's going on?
Yeah. So the way to assess it, man. You know, like you said, we're 5-6. Some of the biggest things, man, that we always had problems with, it's been pretty much the theme of the last two seasons, man. Quarterback play has been the first thing. You know, again, last year we played Quincy Casey, and then we played Xavier Langford. And, you know, we thought we were going to have Quad Brown when the season started, and he, you know, he faded out of the picture. And, you know, we just never could get any consistency, man. I mean, we had some moments at times, like Quincy Casey looked really good when we played the Thursday nighter against UAPB, where he threw for over 300 yards. Xavier Langford lit it up at Grambling on Grambling's homecoming, you know, running for over 200 yards himself and three TDs on the ground. I mean, we had some moments, but then we had some real ugly moments like the Bethune-Cookman game, man. You know, we start off 14-0, and then 412 yards on the ground later, they beat us 31, you know, put 31 on us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we struggled, man, offensively, and then also we struggled with defensive at times. You know, Keenis Bulware, he was our DC last year. He's out. We had a couple of defensive coaches from last year. They're out. You know, so the thing with last year was we just had no consistency either point of the ball. I mean, we had good wins. We had a couple good wins there. But then we had games that got away from us. You know, like in the classic, we were right there with Alabama State. Second half, we just couldn't finish it. You know, and the point now is that we got to start being able to find a way to beat these teams, the FAMUs, the Jackson States, that we have not been beating consistently in the Maynard era.
So speaking of the Maynard era, a lot of people expected him to kind of be on high seat the way last year finished. And going into this year, obviously the expectations are going to be high for him to kind of come in and do more than he's done the past few years. How much do you think that he is in risk of losing his job if the season doesn't go the way y'all expect it to?
Well, given the fact that you know, he's now it's kind of weird to say this, that he's the dean of SWAC football coaches.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty much when you look at the whole body of work. You know, we won the SWAC title in that shortened COVID season.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it's been 7-5, missed opportunities in that 7-5. We had a 6-5. And then the last year of Aquil Glass, 7-3, with that big time beatdown on homecoming to Jackson State, blew the game against FAMU. And then you follow that up with 4-7 and 6-5 and 5-6. And so now the angst is there. If I believe that if we don't at least win 8 games, probably, maybe even more than that, I just can't see a way of him having a path forward for another season. And I have been a Maynard supporter, but at this point, I mean, you kind of are who you are at this point until you prove us different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Major B. Bullet said Maynard be in the portal by mid-season. I'm going to tell you something that I commonly hear about Coach Maynard. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say about Coach Maynard, about Alabama A&M. And it's something we talked about when we came on y'all shows last time. People are saying that Alabama A&M fans are okay as long as you win the Magic City Classic and homecoming. I think that has changed with the, you know, even with you mentioned about the spring, you know, although it be it, you know, what was it, 4 games, 5 games or whatever.
5 games.
Yeah, you win the SWAC. You get that taste of you know, a victory. You get a new AD who's building nothing but, you know, saying greatness on that campus. You've got, you know, saying the Kennel community. You've got the new arena. They're building that beautiful student center. So the scoreboard, the turf, that has changed. That culture has changed. Now it's like Maynard's almost a victim of his own success, you know, albeit it's not a lot of success, but it's enough to where he's kind of put it, you know, a target on his own back.
Yes. And it's to the point where there's no excuses. There's nowhere to run. I mean, they provided you with necessary resources to get it done. There's no excuses. I mean, recruiting wise, and I'm sure we'll get into that when we talk about the season outlook. I mean, recruitment wise, you know, you could tell the way that moves have been made. It's almost gives you the feeling like this could be the last stand, and I gotta put it, you know, I gotta deliver, you know. So yeah, there's no excuses anymore, man. And for the fan base, yeah, the fan base for many years, that used to be the thing. Well, you know, as long as you win the Classic, because the expectations were set so low forever. But now no one wants that. We just want to win. Everybody wants to win. And not only do they want to win, they want to be able to brag about winning. They want to be able to post about winning. You know, I mean, that seems to be a common theme around the SWAC. But we really, really want to get that first taste of, you know, getting to Atlanta. Everybody wants to feel that. And when you see some of the other teams in your conference, you know, get there regularly, you want that feeling too. So, yeah. We'll see, man.
Yeah. All right, Pat, man, let's talk. I want to talk Valley. I said last year that I think Valley is a sleeping giant. I think this year, you know, I'm not expecting them to, you know, say run the table or nothing like that. I want to be realistic, and there's no disrespect. But I do think that Valley is building something special under Coach Wade, some of the talent he's brought in. Tell me – Am I crazy for feeling like y'all will no longer be the punching bag of the SWAC?
Yeah, I mean, if people really looked at how we played, let's throw out the UAPB game, because everybody beat up on them. Throw out the UAPB game. Okay, we lost to Jackson State 21-6, lost to Alcorn 24-3, lost to Bethune 20-7, Alabama State 20-7. And then the Alabama A&M game, we actually scored touchdowns. We played well. The defense played pretty good, you know what I'm saying, on the first-year coach. It was the offense. Like I said, we played two true freshmen. If we make progress and the defense stays at that same level that it did last year, some of those close games that we lost last year, we are going on the second year coach. Let's see if we can go from one win to maybe 4 or 5 wins. That all the Valley fans want to see is progress. That's really what we want to see. Let's see if we can take some of those losses that we had last year and flip them into victories going into year 3.
Yeah, is Tajarian going to be the quarterback going into the season, you think?
I think he will. Like I said, Sisk, he's the other soft. I mean, he's going into his sophomore year as well. He's going to be the one that's going to end up pushing him. But everybody expects Williams to get the job. So,
yeah. What are you expecting to see from him kind of in here? Because, you know, a lot of people say from your freshman to your sophomore year is when you make that biggest jump, you know,
the
improvement. So what do you need to see or what do you want to see from him as far as improving at the quarterback position?
Credit Mac on the turnover, like a lot of the games that we were in. I mean, like I said, a lot of the games that we were in, the Jackson State game, the Alcorn game, the Bethune, making freshman mistakes. Yeah. I mean, holding on to the ball too long or throwing interceptions. Let's see, in the year two, can he go 15 touchdowns, 7-8 interceptions, something like that? If he can show progress going into year two.
Yeah. And some of that got to do, like you said, though, with knowing the offense, getting the timing of the offense, and, you know, chemistry with your receivers and things like that. His first year in the system with, you know, first time with those receivers and everything. Hopefully, you know, like you say, the whole offseason, the whole summer with to be in the system, get a better understanding of the system. Hopefully he can take that jump and y'all can start seeing improvement in that offense. Because I think y'all got some talent. Y'all just got to showcase it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because he was the last quarterback to sign last year because we had two veterans. I mean, we had Jones. He played in 2022, then you had the FBS transfer. I forgot in that Maldonado number 6. So we had experience there, and then we had Sis. He was the third quarterback. Wing was the last quarterback to sign, so he really didn't have much time in, you know, to whip the offensive coordinator. So this offseason, him and Sis got a full offseason with the OC, so they get to learn the offense better.
All right. Let's talk about, you know, saying players that, you know, saying, you know, that you lost and what's coming in new. Wayne.
Yeah, man.
Quincy Casey. I was shocked. I didn't see that one coming because I thought he was kind of, I'm not saying, you know, I like what I saw from Zay, but I thought Casey was about to take over.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is that, you know, it would seem like he moved a team and then turn the ball over, y'all. Come in, here's Xavier. So, you know, you go through that for a while, it makes you wonder, like, okay, am I the guy or not? Yeah. You know, and you know, being honest, I mean, it was kind of like that also the year before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So 2 years of musical chairs. You know what I'm saying? It makes you kind of wonder, you know, well, do you really care? Am I going to be your guy or not? And so the musical chairs, I actually was not surprised by that. What I was surprised by is the fact that Quad Brown returned to the team. That's the one I was surprised by. Because last year, he played in the first game against Vanderbilt. He got a series or two. And then you never saw him the rest of the season. But now he's back. And the curious thing about that is now you have the transfer from Miami of Ohio, Avion Smith, you know, who comes in, which was another surprise. Not a surprise that he transferred, but a surprise that he came to us, given the fact that he just quarterbacked Miami of Ohio to the MAC championship. Now, I'm not surprised that he transferred from Miami, Ohio. Of course, I live here in Ohio, so I kind of know that program. Brett Gabbert, you know, Blaine Gabbert, the veteran backup quarterback, his brother Brett Gabbert was the starter last year. And Brett Gabbert gets hurt after about game number 8, and then Avion Smith is forced in. They didn't ask him to do too much, but he did what he needed to do. They won the MAC championship. So he transfers because Brett Gabbert's coming back. He's healthy. The thing about Avion Smith is he was a full-time starter in 2022 at Miami of Ohio. And at this point, he's more of a better runner than he is a passer. When he was passing and he was the starter, he was only really completing 49% of his passes. Mm. You know, and he only threw for 1,300 yards, but he ran for 600 on the ground. So the thing that we have at quarterback right now is we've got a guy who's got a cannon of an arm in Quad Brown, but has not played significant football in now two seasons. And then you've got an established guy in Avion Smith who has FBS experience, but he's still developing as a passer. And then, oh, by the way, you got another wild card in there in Xavier Langford, who's still on the team. And so where we sit is we just need to find a starter, stick with the guy, and let's just see where we fall. You know, right now, I don't favor either guy, but one thing that I do want to see that we struggled with last year, we need to see some consistency in our passing game because we have returned our entire running back room. Donovan Eaglin's back, Ryan Morrow's back, Harold Jemison is back. You know, we've got receivers with Jacoby Hewitt coming back, Keenan Hambrick coming back, and we got Duke Miller to transfer from Jackson State. And then tight end, we got Smooth Barry White, number 42, coming back, and then we got the big transfer from UT Martin, you know, DJ Nelson, guy who was first team all OVC 2 years ago. 6'5", 220, reception, and can block. So we've got some offensive weapons, and then we're rebuilding the offensive line. You know, we went out in the portal, and we got three guys. We got a guy from Minnesota who played at Minnesota. We got his name is Terrell Lawrence, 6'7", 355. You know, we got a transfer from Georgia Tech, another guy who's 6'5", over 300 pounds. You know, we picked up a guy who's a red shirt, Ramir Lewis. So we've got three new starters on the offensive line. All right. So if we get some consistency at quarterback, offensively, we can do some things. You know, and then the other part of our team is our defense. So defensively, we lose, we lose some key pieces there. You know, we lose Zerion Hayes.
Yeah, you know, big Hayes.
He was a dog at defensive end. You know, we lose three key starters on that front seven. But we do bring back Amari Pate. Amari Pate was second team all conference as a corner, and he's expected to take big steps this year. And then lastly, with our defense, we got a new defensive coordinator in Thomas Howard, who comes over from South Carolina State. Famously, he was the guy who, you know, set up that defense that shut down Jackson State in that Celebration Bowl win that they had. So we got a lot of things to work with, but defensively, we got a lot of new pieces. New defensive coordinator, a lot of new places to fill on that front seven. You know, we find somebody that can be consistent opposite Amari Pate, you know, and then offensively, like I said, we got some things to work with. But it's a lot of questions, man. Lots and lots of questions.
Yeah. Same question for you, Pat. We know Tajerian. He kind of found his footing later in the season. But what else you got coming back? Key losses.
Okay, yeah. We had Jackson Davis, FCS freshman All-American, leading receiver last year as a freshman. 6'5". About 210, 220. I'm not saying he's Shannon Sharp, but the similarities are there as far as somebody, a tight end that could run like a wide receiver. On the other side, you got Ross, the local product from Itabena. He's the field stretcher on offense. Defensively, our biggest loss was Emmons. He was the anchor of the defense. He transferred out to Tarleton State. He was the number one safety in the country, FBS or FCS, according to PFF. But we got a lot of pieces that redshirted last year. A lot of the FBS transfers like Von Killings, Markham from Memphis, redshirted last year. Like on offense, we had the 2-3 stars. They redshirted, one from Memphis, another one from Texas. I can't remember his name, but they redshirted last year. So Fant averaged about 8 yards a carry last year, and he didn't carry the ball a lot. So he's going to be like the leader of the offense as far as that backfield concerned. So if that three-headed monster, as far as running backs can find their groove or whatever in that offense, that's it. It's, we just want to see some progress from year one to year two. Can we go from one win to 4 or 5 wins? That's all we want to see as far as Valley fans is concerned.
I like it. And you, I don't want to hog that one. Go, I'll let you, because I was about to get going. I'll forget to go and see who I can get the live first. Go ahead, Ant.
Nah, you go. Now I was gonna ask a question for Wayne. So I know you talked about y'all brought in a new DC, but y'all also brought in some other people on their staff, like Coach Thornton, line coach. What side of the ball are y'all kind of hanging y'all's hat on? And what side of the ball is kind of are you gonna think need some work as the season go along?
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna hang my hat on the offensive side because that's where we have the most returning experience. With our offensive coordinator Dwayne Taylor been there for a while. We need some work on defense, man. Obviously we needed it last year because, you know, last year we just couldn't get any key stops. Yeah. And when you're breaking in a new defensive system and you're bringing in plenty of new defensive players, man, it's definitely one of those things that is a big time unknown for us. And if I'm going to be honest, man, I really don't have a whole lot of confidence in it right now. Just given the fact that if we had made some key stops last year and did consistently, you know, then maybe I would say hopefully that could carry over. But, you know, when you make big change like that, it's just we got to see, man. But definitely offense, I think, like I feel confident that we could probably succeed in running the ball. Our two-headed monster, man. I mean, you guys saw how it worked last year when it was rolling. Mm-hmm. When Eaglin and Morrow were rolling last year, I mean, you could ride those guys. And depending on who plays quarterback, that's also another question. But I just feel very solid in what we might have on offense. But we'll see, man.
Yeah. Same question for you, Perry. I mean, Pat.
If you would ask this a couple weeks ago, it would have been the defense. But we got to replace our defense coordinator. He left for Central. North Carolina Central. So, but pieces are there. We just have to see who is the defensive coordinator. The offense, there are pieces there. Like I said, Davis, Bant, Williams. There are pieces there. We just have to see how much improvement is there under year two under the offensive coordinator. But even right now, I would probably lean more on the defense than the offense. We'll just have to see who the defense coordinator is.
I got
you. Wayne, y'all's backfield. I know you've talked about them. I went to the Lane game.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even realize Eglin had went out of the game. Morrow came in, picked up right where he left off, and I think he won like offensive player of the year that week. If I'm not mistaken, both backs won offensive player of the week at least once, maybe twice each. What does that bode or kind of symbolize where y'all going with it this season, relying more on the run game, or do you think it still will be, you know, Maine is going to try to find a way to air that thing out.
So for me, if Avion Smith is the starter, I can definitely see a heavy run focused attack. He's brilliant in his own read. Real brilliant in his own read. If Quad Brown is your starter, I see it more of a, you know, more play action. Mm-hmm. And then definitely, you know, some throwing. Because, like I said, when you have DJ Nelson at tight end, you know, he's an additional weapon in that passing game, you know, to go with these receivers that we do have. So again, I guess the way to answer it is, I think it depends on who's under center. Mm.
Okay. Pat, what's somebody we're not talking about for Valley that might just jump out on us and kind of surprise us this season?
Believe it or not, it's somebody that actually played last year. I really talked about him, Fant. Because he had limited carries. He had, like, in the Jackson State game, he only had 4 carries, but he had 99 yards. In the UAPB game, he only had, like, 4 or 5 carries, and he ended up having, like, 100 yards. So, can he go a full season with about 10 to 12 carries a game? Because we know we got the other two running backs that are going to be coming off red shirts, but can he go a full season? In fact, can he go a full season with about 100 carries? That's going to be the biggest question. Can he endure a full season? If he can, I say it, watch out, because I think he could end up with 100 carries, maybe 700-800 yards, and maybe 40 receptions. He could have 1,000 all-purpose yards in the season, and that's it. Just watch out for Fant. That's the Fabian Fant.
Yeah, I'm looking at the stats from last year, and averaging 8 yards to carry is crazy, man. Yeah,
that's the thing, bro.
He did that on the limited carries. Like I said, he didn't have a lot of games with a lot of carries until toward the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. He only had like 35 carries, so he really ain't getting many touches, but almost 300 yards and like right at 300 yards and 35 carries. That's some explosiveness for sure.
Same question for you, Wayne. Somebody we're not talking about at A&M that's gonna probably shock us.
You know, man, I've been waiting on this young guy ever since he transferred. He transferred in. This is his third year in the program. We've been waiting on Keenan Hambrick, wide receiver. We've been waiting on you, young man, number 6. You know, he, you know, his father played at A&M. When I was there in the late 90s, early 2000s. You know, we've been waiting on him. You know, he's had some flashes, but you know, this is your third year in the program, man. And I think that this could be the year that he breaks out, man. You know, I think this could be the year. Definitely.
All right. We about at that time. Y'all ready, fellas, to go down this schedule?
Yeah, man. Let's do it, man.
All right. All right, Pat, let's start with you. Y'all open up with Tennessee State. Yeah. What you thinking? Win, loss, maybe?
I'm going to say win because the way he ended the season against Alabama A&M, he only had, his turnover was a fumble. So he didn't throw any interception, but he just had a fumble. If he carries that over into season 2 and the defense plays at the same level as they did last year, I think we could go up there and shock them. You know what I'm saying? Because we should have beat them in 2019. But
yeah. All right. Next up, you got Lamar.
Ooh, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it all depends on how we play against Tennessee State. When we last played Lamar, we almost upset them. We went, took them into overtime when they was ranked in the FCS. So I think we can. I mean, it's all going to depend on how we play against Tennessee State. But I think we can go over there and compete. You know, it's depending on how we look against Tennessee State.
All right. Murray State. I'm gonna let y'all know. The maybes we're gonna do like spades. We're gonna count them as possum and two possums equal a W.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm gonna go with that. So we got one possum in Lamar, but you got Murray. You going to Murray State?
Just hope it's competitive. Just compete.
All right. I understand what that means. We ain't even going to say it. All right. Then you go to Nichols. Old Thibodeau, Louisiana.
It was last year they had that. I'm trying to see. Was it that quarterback that used to play at Southern? I think he gone this season. So I think we can go down there and compete. So we could put that as a possible.
All right. That's two possible. All right. Alcorn at home.
First home game. Ooh. If we went down there and didn't score any touchdowns, but we held them for most of the game. If Wynn can play like he did against Alabama A&M, we're going to win because I'm trying to see if Alcorn still got their quarterback tonight.
They got new quarterback.
Yeah, they got.
Yeah, we're gonna win.
Okay, all right.
Aaron Allen gone.
Yeah, Aaron Allen is out of there. I said it the other day. That's the one player I wish had another year. But you go to Alabama State after that.
I said we lost to them only 20-7 last year.
Yep, they got a new quarterback, new OC.
Yeah. Year two, if he makes that big jump, we're going to play. I mean, because Alabama State, they're going to just run the ball and play ball control offense. If we go in and play our brand of football, I think we can go and get a win on the road.
All right. Bethune-Cookman.
Coach Woody.
Ooh, same thing. It lost to both of them teams 20-7. If we play our brand of football, Bethune going to play it. Yeah, Woody going to have them playing, run the hearts, smash my football, ball control offense. If we can go and play our game. That's a home game, right? Oh, yeah. Homecoming. Yeah, I think we're going to win homecoming.
All right. Payback game. UAPB. Does UAPB get their payback?
Nope. Because we.
All right.
Man, I'm gonna be cracking up at these comments, man.
D-Love says, Jesus. I mean, we beat them at home. I mean, 42-7. I mean, 42-17. I mean, they ain't gonna make that big a jump in year two, you know what I'm saying? Because our team's gonna be improved as well. So, I mean, yeah. Being honest.
That dude said, man, it's too many ifs.
All right. Prairie View.
Ooh. Yeah, like Williams, he played okay, but Prairie View, they're a solid team, having their SWAC West champions. We got them at home. They're going to play solid. Prairie View going to play a solid game. Put that in the possible category.
Yeah. All right. Jackson State.
See, that's the thing. I saw them. We played them great we just couldn't score in the offense. Their quarterback had a solid game. I'm trying to see if he's a freshman or, I mean, was he a freshman last year?
Morgan will be back. Morgan's there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He played a solid game last year, even before his first start. I believe that was his first start against us.
It was.
Put that as a possible.
All right. You got FAMU at FAMU.
Ooh.
At no. Brad.
But Musa gone. New coaching staff, new everything.
That's true.
That's true. That is true.
It's very true. Ain't no Willie.
Yeah.
It's true.
All right. Then you welcome A&M. To Itabena. The last time A&M was at Itabena.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they got us.
They said
that
y'all
was
ain't
painful,
cut,
bro.
They said y'all ain't cut the grass.
That was painful.
So this time we're gonna have turf. Ain't gonna be no excuses this time.
Okay. I like that.
All right. So if my calculation with the possums and how we had this, that's what, 7 wins.
No, I don't think it was that many.
It was every two possums.
I think it was up to about five.
Yeah, y'all see, five. That's if we could get five wins next year, that'd be considered a successful season for us.
Yeah, I think so for sure.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Major said you could
be. Like, how many possibles can you get?
Yeah,
if it's in space, man, hey, every two possibles, that's a book, you know what I'm saying? So
I'm just saying, listen, I was marking them down as wins, but okay. All right, Wayne, here we go.
Yeah, man, let's do it.
Y'all open up at Auburn.
Let's lost, man. They killing us. Key, let's go to the next one, man. They killing us.
Then y'all start y'all SIAC journey. Y'all got Kentucky State.
That's a win.
All right. Georgetown College.
Yeah, they're NAIA, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I ain't going. All right. Austin Peay. At Austin
Peay. Loss. We not winning there.
Okay. At FAMU, y'all go to Bragg.
Loss. We win. We have not won there. And listen,
y'all
I've done a lot of the study on all these teams, man. Look, right. They got a new head coach, but they got a lot of returning guys. A lot of returning guys.
All right. Jackson State and Mobile, the Gulf Coast Challenge.
Loss. No. Oof. No.
All right. Bethune, homecoming.
We do get that one.
Okay. All right. Magic City Classic. It's been 2 years now.
Yeah, I think we win that one.
Okay.
I think it's a pillow fight. It's a pillow fight, but we win.
Listen, I'm telling you, if y'all don't win Magic City Classic, he might not be able to come back to Huntsville.
Yeah, they win that one.
All right. Southern at home, payback from last year. Senior day too. That's early.
Yeah, we win that one.
Okay. At PUAPB.
Win.
Okay. Grambling.
Yeah, on a Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
At yeah.
Home. Yeah.
I think we win that one also.
Okay. And Valley at Valley.
Sorry, Pat. We winning. winning that game.
All right, let me go back. Let me count these up because my map been kind of bad tonight. Let's see. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. 8-4?
I mean, I honestly really believe it's 7-5. I really believe 7-5, but I think the swing game is the classic for us.
Gotcha.
But FAMU, we'll never win down there. Man, and people think that we going down there to win. Like, come on, man, stop. You got to play great to beat them. They have not lost a home game in the SWAC yet. And with Southern and Grambling, the fact that we played them both at home, We've beaten Grambling the last 2 years. I do like our chances when we play them at home. Southern, we never win at Southern. I said we would lose there last year, and we did. It just seemed like funny, weird things happen every time we go playing Baton Rouge, man. So, yeah, you got 8-4. I would more say I think it would be realistically, I think 7-5. And then even if we finish 6-6, I wouldn't even be surprised with that either. So
is 7-5 enough
to keep the job?
Yeah.
No,
it depends on which games. I feel like,
honestly, here's the thing, man. I think the East this year is going to become like what the West is, what the West has been. You know, the last 3 seasons, it's been a runaway winner in the East. I don't see that happening this year. I see it more like you're going to have more of a survivor than you're going to have a winner. I think it's going to be some teams going to take some lumps in the East. Mm-hmm. I think Alabama State's going to put some stuff on a couple teams. You ready for this? Bethune-Cookman is the sneaky team in the entire SWAC. A lot of people sleeping on what Woody did with all the transfer talent that he brought in, you know. And towards the end of the year, if you look at how they were playing, he had that team playing well. Remember, they should have beaten Jackson State, you know. So, you know, it's gonna be crazy, man. It's gonna be crazy in the East. I think both divisions this year is gonna be dogfights. But Pat, man, I think y'all gonna try real, real hard. I really believe y'all gonna play a lot better. I really do. Yep. And shout out to y'all for you know, with the investment you guys have made in the facilities. But one question I do have for you, Pat, is I know you guys got that transfer quarterback from Norfolk State. Are you hearing anything about him being in the mix to win the starting job?
I think he's going to push, you know, because he do have experience. He got, you know, say at Norfolk State, and he did play at JUCO. I think he played at Jones, I believe. But, yeah, I think he's there. They brought him in to, you know, push Williams or whatever. Just looking at the stats or whatever, I don't know if he's got that to, you know, take the job or whatever. But we'll see after camp.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I got to ask this. Pat, and then I'm going to come to you, Wayne. Pat, success, and it's not necessarily based on wins and losses, but success for Valley this year looks like what?
Flipping some of those wins. Like I said, after the UAPB game, there were at least 3 or 4 games that we probably could have won if we had more consistent quarterback play. So hopefully if Williams make that jump from year one to year two, I would say 4 or 5 wins and probably some close losses.
Just competitive, basically.
Yeah. You're competing. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Same for you, Wayne. Not necessarily a number, but success for Alabama A&M this year looks like.
We beat either FAMU or Jackson State or both. We settle on a quarterback, and that quarterback takes the reins and owns it the entire season. No musical chairs. We're not here for a third year of musical chairs. Defensively, you know, we find a way to get off the field on third down more often. We improve our third down defense. And also, I just think, the obvious things is, you know, snap that 2-game losing streak in the Classic. But I think a successful season would be a mixture of all those things. But definitely We got to be able to find a way to beat FAMU or Jackson State or both, because we just have not been doing it at all.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Before we get ready to get up out of here, trying to think, it was something else. A major topic came up in HBCU lately that was
talking about FAMU getting rid of the coach getting rid of the players.
Oh no, nah, it wasn't it. Okay. Yeah, the basketball. I kind of I wasn't gonna go. No, it was something surrounding football. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, I think that's all I got, man. And you got anything else before we
You ain't asked them the question, so.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
NCAA coming out in a few weeks. What feature y'all fellas looking most forward to on the game?
Bruh, I don't even play video games, man.
All right, that was nice talking to you tonight, Wayne.
ain't gonna play at all.
Honestly, man, I have not played video games in over 10 years, bro, at least.
That's how long it's been.
The game. Yeah, that's how long it's been.
Oh, okay. Well, shoot. I might just buy me a new PlayStation, man, to play that thing.
Yeah. Oh, Hitman, we talked about that at the top of the show. Yeah, the names coming to media day. We did talk about that. Pat, what about you? I know you be on the road a lot. I don't know if you get a chance to play, but y'all killing me tonight, man.
I be on the road a lot, man. I don't have time.
I get you. But fellas, man, listen, I appreciate y'all coming through. Pat, I know you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you got anything you want to shout out, you know, talk about the collective at Valley, but let the people know how they can help or what they can do for you.
Go to the V Club, donate. We got all these upgrades coming on. I mean, all these upgrades at Valley, whatever, but any donation help, go to mvsuvclub.com/donate. If you want to continue to help Valley progress, donate. Appreciate any little donation, big or small.
All right. Wayne, tell the people where they can find you and plug your show and all that good stuff.
Yeah, man. Shout out to my From the Hill podcast family. You can follow us on our YouTube channel. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X. We got a very nice show for you tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. We got longtime Indianapolis Colts star defensive end Robert Mathis, who played at A&M. He's joining us. We got another Bulldog legendary football player, Grady Brown, who's now the defensive backs coach in the NFL with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we also have A&M graduate Christopher Anenye, who's the strength and conditioning coach in the NFL for the Los Angeles Rams. So, yeah, y'all, you know, that's how we are. You know, check out all of our episodes. Follow us, man. And once again, man, been a pleasure to be part of this show with you guys one more time.
Hey, sounds good. I like it. I'm definitely trying to check that out with Robert Mathis on there. Trying to bring up now. I'm looking. I know y'all may not care. A lot of people might not care. I'm trying to see if the Florida Panthers going to collapse.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to see if they put right two. They up. Okay.
Yeah, they up 2-1, headed to the third period.
All right. They better do something. Speaking of, that's what it was that was on my mind. Shout out to Tennessee State. They have named their hockey coach. They named him, I think, yesterday. Or not yesterday, but a couple days ago. Let's see. It was 3 days ago. So they have named DeJuante Abercrombie. Is that right? Did I do it right? Yep. Deontay Abercrombie is the new head coach for the Tennessee State hockey team, and they revealed the jersey. It will be available on sale July 1st.
Okay, that's dope.
So I think I will be rocking a Tennessee State jersey hockey. So until somebody else get a hockey team. So I'm telling you what's good. It's got to be can't take cloth on it.
Now, who would the next it would got to be Howard, right?
Howard would be the next, probably be the next HBCU with a hockey. I think.
If we, I wouldn't put it past them boys for real.
I mean, like if you just because most of them in the South, and we all know hockey ain't that big in the South. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's got to be one that's got a little more northern reach to it. So I feel like
Hampton. I'm gonna give you one that might shock you. I can see Morgan State with them being close to DC like that, and
I can see
the Washington Capitals probably pushing help.
Be,
so
it's got to be school up there like
that. Yeah, it's got to be one of those three.
Yeah, I don't see it being South Carolina State or you know, North Carolina A&T or nobody like that.
Well, I could see it Central, North Carolina Central or A&T because mostly Central because of the Carolina
Hurricanes.
They actually had Coach Moulton when they had brought Coach Moulton saying to bang the little drum and stuff.
That's a far cry from
program
to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I definitely could see one of those teams. Before we go, let me ask this. We've got a few FCS versus FBS games this season. Best chance to get a win.
Woo! Man. You know what, man? Colorado better be ready. North Dakota State, boy. Sure, I know they got a new head coach.
Yeah.
I know they got a new head coach, but, hey, they better be ready.
I said FCS. I should have said HBCU. My apologies. But North Dakota State, hold on. I got to look and see who it is. I'm going to tell you. I think ULM.
Oh, you told for J. Okay, so for HBCUs, definitely I got my eye on because ULM has been bad.
Yeah.
And I think that Jackson State might be able to get them boys.
ULM got a new coaching staff. They turned over half their roster. They don't know who that quarterback is yet. Like, they got a lot of question marks.
Somebody said FAMU Troy. I'm like, stop that. No.
Call me crazy. Howard over Rutgers is a possibility.
Nah.
I don't know about that, man. Greg Schiano got Rutgers, man.
Got
he them. Got them boys. He recruited. Okay. He got some dudes, man.
Plus, I think one thing that helped Howard last year, whenever they played Eastern Michigan, was they lying. You know what I mean? And
they almost got Northwestern too.
Both of them, but they had the NFL bodies on that offensive line last year. You know what I mean?
That's true. All right. Don't cook me. Mercer ain't no FBS. Are they FBS?
No,
they ain't FBS.
No, they FCS. They in the SoCon.
Yeah. All right. Well, fellas, again, thank y'all for coming through. Truly appreciate it. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, on Thursday. We'll be back on Thursday. We got FAMU and Southern coming through on Thursday.
Boy.
How you get them two together?
They going to be talking all kind of smack, man. They had matchup.
I already see.
Good times, fellas. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, listen. What's my guy, Kelvin Rozier? He going to be doing the strike all night. I can see it. I already know. But like I said, we'll be back on Thursday. And like that, we got.
This show was presented by betonline.ag.
Bring me my money. Mm-hmm.